Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Wake up! Wake up! Grab rice and put a little makeup. I just got the fade away, the shake up. Why'd you leave the kids?
You damn right. Let's go. Hour number one on a Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. Maybe getting some Christmas shopping done early. Get that off the plate. Trey Elling is elsewhere today, taking care of some other things, production stuff around the station. So we got Sam Pica in today. He's had a haircut.
Right.
He's clean shaven. He's freaking us out today with that clean haircut. I'm Chad Hastings, and sitting across from me is the one and only Kevin Dunn.
Couple things. well, you don't hear it right there, but drainage is happening.
You know, better than yesterday?
I think it's because of chemo, but I don't know if all y'all do this. Anytime you go get something, oh, much better. Anytime you go get something, you can tell with my eyes probably.
Yeah, yeah.
That it blows my mind. Like, do you realize every time you go do something like that, just how lucky we are?
Do you mean like every time I get a shot?
Anything.
Or,
anything to relieve a symptom.
Oh, yeah, it's very good
stuff. That you wouldn't have had 60 years ago, 80 years ago, definitely 100 years ago. Like, I understand that if a car backfires in a school right now, that kids are hitting the ground. There are some things in 2019 that aren't as good.
Right.
Car backfires and you're out of Walmart.
Yes.
Everyone's hitting the deck. Fight or flight. Uh-huh. Not good stuff.
Right. That's
not good stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff with medicine.
That shot is a miracle thing.
It really is.
It really is. That allergy shot is awesome.
Neti potted last night. Which I think that's been around for a little while.
That's good. That has been around for a while. Have you tried the Navage thing yet?
I have not, because the neti pot's still there,
okay,
and the shot is available. Once again, the options here.
My parents swear by that thing.
Yeah.
They love it. I'm not telling you.
So I was thinking about that the whole time. I was like, God. I mean, you just would have been stopped up back in the day.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a Durwood day. Stopped up.
There's so many. Yeah. Well,
he used to walk around with a thing. Kids, and this is old and stupid, and I think even us as kids realize, ugh, handkerchiefs?
Oh, yeah. Those are gross.
You have your snot in your pocket? I'd throw the pants out.
My father-in-law still carries a handkerchief every once in a while. So old
what
school.
What a dumb idea.
It is so old school.
And Kleenex.
Remember it was
by
so,
the way, Bucky, I need to buy you some. I'm sorry about yesterday.
Remember how special we made them to make sure you carried them with you all the time? Monograms.
Yeah, right.
They'd put their initials on a handkerchief.
Going to throw it in the laundry with the t-shirts? No, please don't.
My grandparents, great-grandparents, great-aunts and uncles used to give them to each other for Christmas.
Yes.
It was like this emotional moment when they were given a handkerchief.
Yeah.
And I always thought, that's gross.
So I think about that every time. I definitely thought about it during chemo a lot.
I am glad you're feeling better today.
Because especially when I did the research, I'm like, 21 years? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I cut this close on the big timeline here.
I hope everybody is feeling better today and having a good Thursday.
Number two, you're never going to be my rep guy.
Because
I'm listening to the Rodcast, like, and you go, yeah, Kevin mentioned that. No, Kevin said when he was 7 and 8 and he loved option and black quarterbacks that sometimes watching on TV, he would get faked out more. And then Kevin at like 10 realized he was comparing Texas white quarterbacks and their awful play action. And that had maybe something to do with it, but it's more about the wiggle and the player in the cell.
Yes, I apologize.
He wasn't 50 and working for the Niners and throwing that out there with Lamar Jackson.
I apologize for that.
Both y'all are racist. I didn't like that segment at all.
I apologize. For the record, I still don't know why that guy got suspended. But anyway,
because it is an observation, and I think at that age, kind of a dumb one.
It's.
I will excuse me.
It gets
for
true.
Jamel Holloway, which I would have been 7 years old.
Yeah, it could end up as a dumb football observation, but to me it's a football observation.
Okay.
And I don't know.
All right.
But they decided it was just one game.
I wanted to get that straight
I appreciate that and I am very sorry.
No, you're
all
good, man.
I will not repeat anything I thought I heard.
Well, like Rod said, it ends up being a compliment because you're like you kind of figure it out at some point that wait a minute, that guy's just, and I think it was probably with Hagen that I was like, he's just a magician with the football.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
He could be pink out there, and the guy is still getting stuff done.
And for the record, the reason Rod brought up Lamar Jackson, it's not because of that story. It's because I told him that you and Rod and others that are great X's and O's football people have affected me in such a great way that today I'm in the periodontist chair. And for like 20 minutes, all I did was think of plays I'd like to see run with Lamar Jackson.
Oh, wow.
That is all I did. I was just thinking in my mind.
Those guys know more than I do, but I'll take some credit for that because I've been an advocate for the athletic quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Since Holloway.
I was thinking of all kinds of different ways to use that dude. So it was very good. And I got a good report at the periodontist. That's always nice.
Good. Now, what do they do exactly?
This is going to be your specialization where you're really focused on like the gums. Because I had like some
I knew it was dental.
Some pocket issues.
Ooh.
We had to have a procedure done earlier. And I just have I rotate between a dentist and a periodontist. So we're just making sure. But everything looked good. He gave me a good grade today. I was very excited about that.
Okay.
Then I came in here and had some potluck food. Some good food in the house.
Still here?
Ham was great. There is some stuff still over there. The ham was great. The turkey, I think.
I opted for shot over that, and I think you probably agree.
Yes. I could tell you definitely. You feel as good as I feel, and I had the food, and you had the shot.
I'm about to go get some of that.
Shout out to Angie, because that corn was incredible.
Ooh.
I love corn when it's done well, and that was fantastic. And then they had milk and cookies, so I had Tiff's Treats cookies. I had one of Trey's cookies. Shout out to Trey Elling. That was a nice cookie. And then some milk.
God, was it vegan?
Had little bottles of milk. So I
made. Did Trey make them or Justine?
I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Okay.
But I'm just warning you that I might need a nap at about 5:15.
All right.
I may be out and gone. All right. We've got a busy show today. We've got a few guests for you. We're going to try to fit in a couple different people. We've got one of our own that is out and about in Chicago today.
Brad, so drink up. Trey's not even here.
It's not even Trey, right? Drink up for Brad Kellner in Chi-Town. He apparently was coerced by a group of friends to go to his very first Cowboys road game. He's never been to a roadie. So they're going tonight.
So he picked the toilet bowl.
So he picked the Bears in Soldier Field.
In December.
December, Mitch Trubisky. Although the weather I don't think is going to be that crazy.
It is one of the cities on my phone, so let me check here.
Okay. At Chicago.
Ooh, 42 in San Sebastian.
Oh, wow. All right. Wouldn't have expected that.
Ooh, 46. Yeah, you're fine.
He's good, right?
Yeah.
46 in Chicago. I mean, it'll be a colder 46 than if he was in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, because you're right off the lake.
Because you're right there. That lake effect ain't fake. But so Cowboys at Bears coming up here in just a couple minutes. We'll grab Brad Kellner, get a little check-in from him in Chicago. We'll also tell you about where the watch party is tonight. For the Cowboys and the Bears.
Is that Wags?
That is Wags at the watch party.
Wags would be a fun guy to go watch that game with.
Oh, hell yeah. Cowboys and Bears, that's Twin Peaks Stastny.
Okay.
If you want to go get one of those man cave calendars we've been talking about,
yeah,
you can check that out. Also, they're going to be giving away man cards. You can go win those, and they'll be there all the way through halftime.
Cool.
For sure.
All right, man.
All right. So we got a lot of stuff going on. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Total Men's Primary Care here real quick. Guys, get to the doctor if you have not done that, if you need to. I just told you about going to the periodontist. You got to keep that maintenance up. And obviously, Total Men's Primary Care, that is about your overall maintenance. Make sure you're getting that yearly well check. January 1st is coming up, so your deductibles will reset. You may be changing insurance as well. So get on in there. Free money that you're throwing away. If you don't take advantage of it, they can literally get you in the next day with one of their 20 locations around Austin. The new one is down in New Braunfels. So flu shot, low T screening, cholesterol, blood pressure. Maybe you want to go ask them about that shot that Kevin got today that will help you out with the allergy stuff. Yes, they will be able to do that for you as well. Get on over to TotalMens.com. Find the right location for you. Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office just for men.
You know, it's also why we're softer. And I think it's a good segue to get to Brad. But it's understandable. Like, three generations would be as soft as we are. They had to deal with stuff.
Yeah, they did. You're saying as the generations go by, we just get softer because of the conveniences.
Yes.
Yeah.
People that didn't have AC that lived down here, that lived in Chicago without heat at some point.
Or we just got smarter. Maybe it's that.
Well, it's all of it.
It's all of it. It's softer and smarter at the same time.
Those two things go together.
And both describe Brad.
They do,
times.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe.
It's all a process,
and Cantina Hotline. It is all a process or a bit, and we are almost to the end of the season. Brad Kellner is in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. BK, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing well. Did I hear this right? Kevin got a tetanus shot this morning?
Yeah, not a tetanus shot.
Huh?
No.
Rabies are done.
He was bitten by a rusty nail, right. And he wanted to make sure he got that shot, yes.
No, I got an Austin 2019 shot, an allergy shot, which is a gift from God, so don't speak poorly of it.
Yeah, good stuff.
Oh, I won't.
Good stuff. Brad, is this your first time in Chicago or just your first time in Chicago to see the Bears?
First time in Chicago to see the Bears. I was here last summer. It's a much more enjoyable summertime city, as y'all's producer would tell you just about every day. But doing okay weather-wise. It's about 40 right now, and this will actually be my first ever Cowboys road game. So I'm pretty excited to not only check Soldier Field off the bucket list, but also check the Cowboys road game off the bucket list, too.
BK, it's a weird spot, man, because usually you go to your first roadie and maybe the team is in a better spot, but it just seems like everything's up in the air, including Garrett and Jerry and what he's going to do week to week. You think they win tonight?
Yeah, I think they do win tonight, only because the Bears don't have a winning record. If the Bears were 7-5 but had the exact same roster and the exact same problems, then I'd pick the Cowboys to lose. But Dallas this year, outside of the Jets game, is taking care of business against teams that are 500 or worse. They've struggled against the good teams, and I don't think the Bears are a good team. So, you know, it's hard to feel too confident in any direction with the Dallas Cowboys right now. Every time you want to buy in, they'll let you down, and every time you're ready to give up, they'll bring you back in. But I do think they're the better team than the Bears, and I do think it'll be close, but I think they'll get the win.
I know it's like 46. Is it windy up there? I mean, it'd probably be windy right up the lake. I don't know where you're at right now.
I'm actually at
you said you're in Boys Town, right?
Yeah, you know me too well. Might need a tetanus shot there. I'm at a spot called Home Slice, actually. Not the exact same Austin chain, but a Home Slice pizza joint in Chicago right now. But not too windy yet, but I'm sure closer to the lake by Soldier Field, it'll be a little chillier.
Brad, you and I are both Cowboys fans, so tell me if you share this fear. I'm a little scared about what Darian Thompson could be for the Cowboys tonight. Heath's probably not going to go. Thompson would have to step in. I'm trying to find the guy, whether it's Cohen or...
Oh, so you value Heath now all of a sudden,
once
huh?
I saw his backups, yeah. So I'm looking at guys like Cohen or Burton or Gabriel or somebody that the Bears are going to try to match up with Thompson. Does that matchup worry you as well?
Yeah, the Cowboys' secondary, a little hit or miss, and especially the safety position. You know, nothing about the Bears' offense really scares me. I know they've got some talented pieces, but as long as Mitch Trubisky is throwing the football, I would side with just about any defense, high school level or above, against that guy at this point. But sure, that's an interesting thing to watch for. I mean, it's as inconsistent as Jeff Heath is. He's the starter on this team for a reason. I think we all wish the Cowboys did a little bit more this past offseason, whether it was through the draft or through free agency, and addressing that safety position a little bit more. And now they're kind of feeling the ramifications of not doing that. But, yeah, I mean, Tariq Cohen, the half-Jew, he's a weapon. Taylor Gabriel's a weapon. They've got some talented pieces for sure. So maybe it'll cause some problems. But, I mean, you guys have seen the Bears' offense this year. They don't instill a whole lot of fear in any opponent.
Shalom. I didn't think about that. hey, so I'm sure Trey gave you a bunch of foo-foo bogus restaurants and recommendations. You just trash that right away?
Oh, yeah. You're mistaken if you think I even asked. I just put on headphones.
Oh, no, I didn't think that either, BK. I figured he just gave it to you.
Yeah, he tried to, but I wasn't listening. I'm trying to have fun and not play beach volleyball for 3 days straight, so...
Yeah, because that'd be fun in 46. That's also right off the lake.
That's awesome. Brad, give Twin Peaks a little love here. We're going to Twin Peaks Stastny tonight. Wags is going to be holding it down back here in Austin. For Cowboys fans that have never been out there, tell them about the Twin Peaks watch parties.
Yeah, man, the watch parties are always fun. Twin Peaks is a good time. Wags is a good time. They've got TVs everywhere. And look, it's the only NFL game. It's the only football game going on tonight. So every screen will have the Cowboys and the Bears. You've got the 29-degree draft beer served in those man-sized mugs. Great food as well. Of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. And we'll be giving away gift cards, $25 man cards to Twin Peaks at the end of the first and second quarter. So you can actually take care of your beer, take care of your meal if you go out there and party with Wags tonight.
BK, I think Chad is actually going to be like the sixth or seventh man on this Aggie basketball team eventually. So I'm not sure how much we're going to tell about Sunday, and hopefully Texas can just win that, and we'll use that as bragging rights for a year. But how much faith do you have in this team? Are you buying them?
No, not yet. I mean, this is kind of a Sunday's kind of a lose-lose situation for the Longhorns, right? I mean, if Texas wins, it's not going to be an impressive win on the resume. Texas A&M is in a transition year, first year Buzz Williams, and they're not a talented team. I mean, they lost to Fairfield a couple of weeks ago. They finished eighth out of eight teams at the Orlando Invitational. They really struggle. So if Texas wins, yeah, you get some bragging rights, I guess, but it's not a good win for March. But if Texas loses, then this could go on the resume as a bad loss, and obviously it's a loss to Texas A&M. So I think I probably have a stronger negative opinion of Shaka Smart than most, but I would guess most Longhorn fans still feel like the jury is out for him. If he wants to, I don't know, necessarily take himself off a hot seat, but at least prevent his seat from getting warmer, he's got to take care of business on Sunday, because this is a very, very winnable game for Texas. But we saw this team last week struggle with McNeese State. So sometimes they'll play down to their competition. And Chad and I were talking about it off the air, man. Anytime you get Texas on one jersey and Texas A&M on the other jersey, you can kind of throw some of the other stuff out the window. It feels like it's always pretty intense. So should be a win for Texas, but you never know in a game like this.
8 out of 8. You know what that means.
What's that?
Elite 8 cups are coming.
for the record, Coach Williams told me he needs just hustle till I pass out and 3 fouls. That's what he's looking for.
Man, Buzz is just tearing that thing down.
That's
right?
What he's looking for. Brad, enjoy Chicago and bring home a win for the Cowboys, will you?
I will do my best, gentlemen. I will do my best. Thank y'all for the time.
Y'all have fun, buddy. That is Brad Kellner in Chicago, checking out the Bears and the Cowboys. That is tonight. We'll roll right up to 7, get you right to the game in time for kickoff. Also, if you are interested in Longhorn Weekly, it makes the transition to the Shaka Smart version tonight. That's going to be on 101.9 and AM 1260 with the first Longhorn Weekly with Shaka Smart. Obviously, a lot to talk about. 7-1 basketball team off to a good start.
But I'm with Brad, and I just don't really trust him yet. And but I'm glad they're 7-1. I don't know if you saw last night, Fort Virginia's been having some problems.
Oh my
and,
God.
And that was it, they, offensively they had been having problems, but they had the best defense in college basketball, so they were winning middle school games. Right?
Yeah. But they put that game out there last night.
48-34. They get the W. They blew them out. Yeah, and then last night Purdue protects Mackey, which they couldn't do against Texas.
Yep.
And because of the lack of faith I have, and just from what I've seen so far, I think it's going to be a tough Big 12. I think Texas, that could be a huge win for them. If they're in a spot like they were last year,
it's a great
where they're right on the bubble.
Right, when a committee, and I thought of that last night when I saw that score too.
So Purdue blew them out.
The fact that you go to Purdue,
yep,
and get that win. Yeah, Purdue last night beats the defending champ 69-40.
Third straight game Virginia has not got to 50.
Virginia hit 16 field goals.
Yeah.
For the game. That's crazy.
Bennett's trying to figure that thing out.
Woo. We'll get into some of that.
He's got time. He won it last year.
There was another big-time college basketball name that didn't have a great game last night. We'll get into some of that in the Big 3. Also,
that's a one-man team right now, man.
Yeah.
Especially with that kid, the big kid who went down with the ankle injury.
So let's make sure we get this update out there for you Longhorn football fans. The Graham Harrell story continues to develop a little bit. Graham Harrell might end up with 2 head coaching jobs offered to him, or at least heavily discussed. The reports are that UNLV has talked to him about their job. UTSA has talked to him about their job. So, Kevin, it boils down to, is just the idea of being a head coach enough, or is Graham Harrell ready to be selective here and say, you know what, I'm going to wait for different head coaching jobs?
Much like my shot, 2019 helps here. It's a good time to be living.
Uh-huh.
If you're the Texas, because back in the day, maybe it's, hey, let me just, because I'm not going to get a head coaching job much better than that, even if I go BOC back in the day. So let me just start there.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case now.
No, it's different.
Kirby Smart's waving. Lincoln Riley's waving. There, you can become a coordinator at one of those places or at a big place and then go be a head man somewhere pretty damn quickly.
One guy that went to his alma mater is waving. The Cliff Kingsbury story. Should tell him a lot.
Bro, I got fired and then hired by one of the 32 elite organization or, you know, elite hiring places, you would think, right?
And then got to
in football. I understand you're Cowboys and there's some organizations that, you know, you probably put some college teams ahead of that in terms of hiring. No offense.
How dare you?
No offense.
How dare you?
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you get fired from a college job.
Right.
Let's talk about something you'd never hear 15 years ago.
Plus, it would bring up a new money-whipping discussion.
So my point is, I think that helps Texas.
We've talked about the money-whipping thing of, would Texas money-whip LSU to get Joe Brady? This one is, can they money-whip an OC position and pay more than a lesser head coaching job? Probably.
Probably.
What I'm hearing, I was reading today, 1.7 or 1.8 is what UNLV's talking to him about. Texas will pay him that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Texas might pay him
if
two.
If they really want him, 2,
might pay
2.5.
Him two if he needs it. Right, 2, 2.5. So keep an eye open for that. But every time I read these stories, and I know this is a part of it, Kevin, that you have not been thrilled with so far, the speed of Tom Herman here, it gets mentioned in everything I'm reading. Tom Herman wants this done quickly and decisively.
Mm-hmm.
He wants it done quickly. It feels like, I don't know if he has an idea in his head, if he wants it done by signing day, if he wants it done by Christmas. He wants this thing done pretty quickly from every report that's coming out.
I know you hate this phrase, but he needs to make love to this process.
Oh.
Not bang it out, Chad.
Come on, man.
You're the sicko. You have no romance in you at all.
It's all the same thing, right? It's all about labels, Kevin. In the end, it's all about labels.
Just about perspective. Just make sure it's right. And from everything I've kind of looked at, I mean, I would love to get Harrell here, and I think he's proved it, and I do think that when he gets Texas, hopefully Texas running back talent, and you can maybe even mix some of the stuff that Herman wants to do, could keep Herman involved, give me some power run schemes to design this week. but yeah, it's going to be his, and I've always kind of wondered what Texas would do with if they could really recruit well and open that up.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
They kind of did with McCoy in 08, right, 07, because they had to, because I don't want that to be the problem.
But and that's what we're watching now. We've talked about it. It's all across the country now, right, where Oklahoma's already into a version of it, and then Bama and LSU are clearly embracing this idea, and Clemson's throwing the ball around, and they're using a lot of different talent. And you could go all the way back to when we were growing up in the 90s watching, and Steve Spurrier showed up, and the question was, what if you ran a wacky offense with some crazy talent?
God, that was nuts.
Right? And that's what this essentially is. If we'll get you 4 and 5 stars, and we'll get you heavy recruiting classes and great recruiting classes. I mean, the guy I was reading today, what is it? USC was top 5 in, it's either passing or scoring overall last year?
They went up a bunch in scoring. I mean, I looked at kind of the more comparison from the year before, and he did that with 3 quarterbacks, too. So this guy's the real deal.
That's a great point. That sounds familiar. A guy who did something impressive with 3 quarterbacks.
Right.
Where have I heard that story before? Maybe they could bond over that.
They
could bond over that. Yeah, no, it's a great piece to put in the resume when you can change quarterbacks and still get stuff done. So that story is obviously still out there.
And I think it only helps Sam. I'm with Ian Boyd on this. Like, if you haven't seen enough from Sam in terms of his touch and everything, look, Texas was put in a bunch of 3rd and longs this year, and the reason that the offense did look top 20 or is in some top 20 stuff there. And I understand that they faded towards the end, but that wasn't Sam. It was because Sam was able to bail them out of that in 4 and 5 wide receiver sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And usually hitting 6.
And a lot of times when we've thought of air raid type offenses, a lot of times the quarterback isn't a weapon with his feet.
Yeah, and I think he will be here.
Sam is more of that, obviously.
I think we'll find out more about his run schemes if Harrell gets the job in year 2, because Sam actually fits pretty well with spreading that stuff out and being able to take off. And so I think he's gonna make the run game look good just on some takeoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. Yeah, if everything breaks down, he's gonna be you got an extra weapon there.
So year 2, if you've got a quarterback, now that they've kind of been recruiting athletic quarterbacks, so maybe that won't be a problem. But that's the other thing. I'm kind of curious to see Jaquindon Jackson and how some of these guys work with that.
You're hoping Duncanville advances, don't you? So you can see him.
Absolutely.
On TV.
I love the kid, but I want him to still come. You know, I don't want be. We'll work on stuff if we need to.
Yeah, sure. No, that's no problem. Discussions. You can have discussions. Yeah. No problem.
Last time we pondered that, we just turned the kid into a running back, and voila.
And it worked. Big 3 coming up. We'll get you the rest of the world of sports, including Cowboys and Bears, coming up tonight. We'll have that one for you on the horn. Rod Babers jumps in with the Longhorn Insider segment. Speaking of Longhorns, we'll talk to Dustin McComas at 4:05. We'll talk college football overall with Brian Jones at 5. We'll even squeeze in that fantasy segment for you. J.D. Lewis, about 5:30 for you fantasy owners, trying to help you as we get close to it's about playoff time, right?
Fantasy football?
Playoffs?
Playoffs coming? Playoffs? Four weeks left?
Yeah, you're right.
Playoffs are, right? You don't don't go all the way to the end.
Right.
So we're all right in that area
probably
now.
Probably are.
Yep. So we'll talk to JD about that coming up at 5:30. A lot to do. I hope you're having a good Thursday. This is The Horn. Just getting started on a Thursday. Sam Pika producing for us today. What you got, Sam?
This is Express by the BT Express.
Very nice. Very nice. Sam Pika, all clean cut. What caused the haircut, if we might ask?
He was just finally driving me crazy. You can ask Kevin. He was the other night, he was trying to record his podcast, and I was just, it was driving me insane.
Yeah.
He was slinging his head around. He was.
Yeah.
I thought I was just doing that bro move.
What's up, man?
But no, I could tell it was bothering you.
All right, before we get Rod Babers in here with the Longhorn Insider segment, let's get you a Big Three real quick.
The Big Three.
Big Three will start in Chicago, Cowboys and Bears tonight. It is a 7:20 start. We'll get you to the action at 7. We'll have you there in time for kickoff. Do not worry about it. Longhorn Weekly with Shaka Smart will be on 101.9 and AM 1260 tonight, talking about that 7-1 Longhorn basketball team. Remember, if you're a Cowboys fan tonight, no Antoine Woods, no Leighton Van Der Esch, and maybe no Tony Pollard, and also a pretty good chance at no Jeff Heath in the ball game. Tomorrow night is the Pac-12 title game. Utah gets to make a statement. Does it get them in? Not necessarily, but they get a chance to make their statement tomorrow night, sitting there at number 5 in the CFP rankings. Last night in the NBA, Milwaukee wins again over Detroit. The Freak had 35 points. That team is on a run, 13 in a row, and some think they may be the best team in the NBA right now. Mavericks beat Minnesota last night. Dwight Powell led the way with 24. They win 121-114. We talked about one of the low-scoring efforts in college ball. Purdue beat Virginia 69-40. The other one last night, Ohio State beat North Carolina 74-49 in Chapel Hill.
Ouch.
North Carolina hit 17 field goals for the entire game at home and got trounced.
Yes. I like Cole Anthony. He still has a ways to go, but I just don't know what they have outside of that.
Yeesh. Boy, they didn't
Ohio
have
State looked good. Maryland looked good. Beat the hell out of my Irish.
That's true. They did. And we mentioned Graham Harrell. Has interviewed with UNLV reportedly for their head coaching job. UTSA needs a head coach. They've reached out and want to talk to him. And there are reports out there that maybe Texas has already talked about an offer and gotten an offer out. One of our texters says, offer on the table for Harrell, 3 years guaranteed, $6.5 million. No idea if that's legit, but there you go.
Okay.
We'll just throw it out there. Throw it out there. Some people talking like maybe he's already gotten an offer.
Throw it out there, man.
But the story is
it doesn't matter these days. Yeah,
that's all he's doing all day here.
Just throwing it out.
Kevin the other day was pulling his Tim Ryan.
Hey, we're in the entertainment business, David.
Yeah.
I'm not about facts.
It's better radio.
Just throw it out there,
man. That's it. Rod,
clean it up later.
Rod Babers, Longhorn Insider segment. So, Rod, we were talking about it. This day and age of college football. Do you feel pretty good that Graham Harrell will end up choosing Texas as an OC job over a head coaching job because of the level of head coaching job?
Yeah, it's not even a question. I think he only took the interview with those schools at this point just to get the money up, to get get the price tag up.
Drive it up.
Yeah, he's not going to take a UNLV head coaching job or a UTSA head coaching job over the offensive coordinator job at Texas or USC. It's a better springboard
exactly.
at Texas or USC. It's harder for you to get to the ultimate level, and we don't know what that is for him. Maybe it's the head coach for Blue Blood. Maybe it's in the NFL. We don't know. It's easier for you to take that leap from USC or Texas as an OC rather than get it, the hard way at UTSA or UNLV. And Texas and USC can pay them more, and they will pay them more. I think at USC is making, right below $1 million right now. Texas will offer them probably $2 million. I mean, I think the number will probably get to $2 million.
What about DC? What are you thinking here?
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot about DC. I heard some other names have been added to the mix. I think I heard, let me say Todd Graham. I think Jeff Howe threw that out there.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned him
Todd
yesterday.
Todd Graham was thrown in the mix there. Yeah, I don't think there's a sense of urgency, or at least it's not the same sense of urgency there is with the offensive coordinator position for whatever reason. Maybe it's just because he knows that Chris Ash or those candidates will be there. They're not going anywhere. Maybe that's what he knows.
Hmm.
Especially now that Clay Helton's safe. There's a lot of people in USC land that believe Urban Meyer must have turned them down. That's the only reason to make such an unpopular move.
Gotcha.
That Urban Meyer turned them down, or whoever they asked. Maybe they asked somebody. James Franklin was on the – that basically the people that they wanted to come turned them down. They were like, damn.
Here's my prediction.
But it could – you know, that's just conjecture.
So they keep him this year. They totally screwed the recruiting class the way they played that out.
That's what I'm saying. It was such a random
idiotic
way to do it. Yeah.
Idiotic. Chris Peterson next year.
Could be.
Peterson has definitely said, could he be. Said, hey, I'm not retiring. I just, it was stress, anxiety. I need to recharge. Exactly what he said.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. That makes sense.
He almost went there once twice, maybe,
I guess that's
when he was
true.
At Boise.
Yeah, and maybe they know that, and they're like, to hell with Urban Meyer. Maybe they're like, man, we're not going to ask
55?
Urban Meyer, because now we know Chris Peterson will be there in a year, and he wants this gig. He wants to stay on the West Coast.
Yep.
I like that. Either one of those conspiracies worked
total
for
guess,
me.
Total
either
guess.
Way, yeah, there was no reason for them to keep Clay Helton like that, and they did. Or maybe they just felt like the guy they wanted, like you said, with Chris Peterson, he's just not available yet. Maybe they never even wanted Urban Meyer because they didn't want the blowback and the backlash. You know what I mean?
Chris Peterson did. He talked about anxiety and stress, like you were talking about. There was also some word of distrust was thrown in there, or something
did he
like
throw that in there?
Where I'm like,
ooh.
Wait, what? And it was like sites, and it had all these words of what went wrong, and one of them was like a distrust or misconnections or miscommunication or something like that. And I thought, okay, maybe there is something in Seattle that was bugging him.
Yeah,
That's an interesting point, though, with USC. So you're saying USC ended up messing up a recruiting situation.
Well, just the way they played this out. I mean, recruiting people were saying that, and I think that makes sense.
Fans are upset.
Yeah.
Fans hate this move, so.
Right.
And then
because it was hard to recruit the whole time when recruits were getting told and thinking that the guy's not going to be there, and then you do it. I mean, you should have even done it Sunday after the UCLA game.
Well, then you got the Graham Harrell thing now that's still lurking. So they're still going to hurt recruiting either way.
Yeah.
So, Rod, what would you say to this texter that sent us a text here, 337-3776? I don't understand the attraction of Graham Harrell. What has he done is the question from the text line.
That is a great question. He actually has done a lot in terms
UNT.
Of producing prolific offenses at the two stops he's been at North Texas and at USC. USC went from, like, I think 90th or something like that in offense, and now they're a top 20 offense with a third-string quarterback. The air raid works. And listen, it is the air raid, too. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to be a slam dunk home run hire. I think the chances are higher that it will work in the Big 12. The air raid has worked in the Big 12. You go look at, you know, last 19 years since 2000, since Oklahoma won their first Big 12 title with Mangino running the air raid.
And different variations of it, too, right? We've talked about
that. Yeah, we talked about this.
Yep.
It's
not all
variations.
Leech stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. People always think extreme leech, they go to that. No, it's not. All these guys run their same
Mangino
their different version
different.
Of it.
Mangino was different. Riley's different.
Mangino was an offensive lineman, so he wanted to run the ball naturally.
Did.
He brought his own balance. But since then, 10 of the 19 years an air raid offense has won the Big 12. 10 of the, and I don't even count Kevin Wilson, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even count him because he wasn't a true air raid disciple. Now, when he came there with Bob Stoops did force Kevin Wilson to run a lot of the air raid ideology, but he was, you know.
He was straight spread at Northwestern. And
he was Northwestern with that Frank Walker, and he wanted to hurry up
awesome.
At the pace.
So,
yeah, and it was one of the best offenses
great.
That Oklahoma's ever had. So you can if you count them as air raid offenses because they were a variation of it. That's 15 out of the last 19 years an air raid offense has won the Big 12. And TCU did it with Cumbie and Meacham. That was a different variation. And we saw Art Browse with the extreme veer and shoot win it.
Or even Kansas, Missouri. You look at them; their best teams with Reese and Daniel were spread and essentially kind of what we're talking about—a variation of
that. With Kansas and Mangino. And let's not forget about Oklahoma State. People forget Oklahoma State. when they have Todd Monken, I believe is their OC. Todd Monken was an admirer. He was a fanboy of the air raid. Not exactly in the tree.
He was air raided, Jason.
He was, yeah. He's like a kinfolk, you know what I mean? Second, third cousin. But they remember they had Dana Holgorsen there in 2010, 2011. They went into Big 12 running the air raid because Dana Holgorsen had left. But by then, Gundy was infatuated with the air raid because I think it wins over all coaches because they go, damn, that was easy to score. Damn, the offense looks like, you know, the offense is not your problem anymore when you get the air raid. That's why Bob Stoops always had an air raid guy there pretty much, or an air raid influence, because he learned early on, the benefits of it. It's really hard, especially with elite athletes. And Bob Stoops was like, I can get the athletes in it.
Guys in space, watch out.
Yeah. So, and it's a philosophy, so it takes over the culture of your team a little bit. That's why you need the balance. That's what I learned during my research, guys. Everybody's
keep
got the balance.
Tough.
It's an extreme offensive philosophy, and even its creators are extreme. Hal Mumme and Mike Leach. Mike Leach brags about winning games without rushing yards. I mean, he pokes his chest out about it. He brags about he doesn't give a damn about balance. So what Bob Stoops understood was, no, he never – when he brought Lincoln Riley in, go look at who he teamed Lincoln Riley up with as his co-OC, that offensive line coach. I think his name is Bill Bedenbaugh or something like that. He has been kind of the balancing, because I always say the air raid is too volatile in its purest form. You got to cut it with something.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Cut it with physicality.
Cut it whatever
right.
you
cut
whatever,
it with blocking.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, I think Rob is giving a drug reference, but it went over your head. No, that's a good thing.
No, I got the cutting drug.
You're a pure man, and we all
No,
we
I'm
all
trying to go
that.
Back to the it analogy.
It's too. But think about it. Even with Gary Patterson understood this. Why? What was Sonny Cumbie? He's an air raid guy all the way. What was Doug Meacham? Offensive lineman. He's an old lineman. He was an offensive lineman by nature. He was a coach old lineman. So
that's my biggest worry with this, and it's what I said from day one.
Don't let it go too extreme.
And going too extreme is getting too soft.
Yeah, and I think that,
usually with this offense.
Study the history of the Big 12. All the greatest variations of the air raid have been cut with something. Texas Tech with Mike Leach running it in its purest form. It was great, and it succeeded to a certain extent, but that's only so far you can get at, you know what I mean, to play elite championship football with the air raid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so.
Yeah, never got to play for a conference title doing that.
No, right. Never did. And even with Art Browse. Art Browse brought in Dino Babers. Shout out to Kinfolk. But he brought in Dino Babers his first year at Baylor. And him and Dino had this bromance, man. And he admits later that Dino Babers was a huge influence on that veer and shoot and kind of bringing back with the RPO concepts, but that bringing the balance back to it. Yeah.
Dino's big time, man.
He is doing a great job right now. Rod Babers, Longhorn Insider, 1 to 3 every day with the Rodcast. Also, check out the Longhorn Blitz podcast. We'll grab him again at 4:30. We'll talk some Cowboys Bears and get more of his thoughts on college football as well. Coming up, we'll get you a little crap bag. I got a hat game for you this week. Three teams that are going to be in championship games this weekend are represented. We'll do that, plus some big birthdays in sports today, including a backup quarterback that I have no idea where he went to school. If Kevin knows, Kevin needs to get this out of his brain fast. That's coming up on the Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, crap bag time for you on a Thursday. Before we get to some old schools, I will remind you that the hat game is out there. And this week, because I'm such a nerd, I thought, well, I just bought a Georgia mini helmet, so I might as well show that off. Georgia, Virginia, and Oregon are all going to be a part of championship games this week. So they are all represented in the hat game this week. You can check it out at hornfm.com. Chad and Kevin Page, go click on hat game, and you will find the Virginia player who ended up with three trips in the NFL, three different teams, a Georgia player that ends up with the New England Patriots, and an Oregon player that ends up with the Broncos.
Okay, I may need some time on that.
All right.
You got any hints? Has anyone got it?
I'll tell you what. Here's my hint for you on the top. The top guy went to Virginia. Then played for the Bengals, Niners, and Packers. Here's my weird hint. He has the same name as a guy who played at Texas that you know pretty well.
Okay.
And who we all see on TV from time to time.
It's
the exact same name, also a defensive player.
That played for Texas?
Played for Texas. It's a guy you and I both know. Probably had him on the show before.
Which one is that?
The top one.
Top one.
the top guy.
Okay, I'll think about that.
So that's my hint on the first one there. I've had a couple good guesses online. Some people have got that done. All right, in terms of birthdays today, Kevin, Jim Plunkett is 72 years old. You and I grew up watching the kind of the end of Jim Plunkett. We didn't see the beginning of the career, but it was a nice end to the career.
It was.
He ended up with those the Super Bowl, two Super Bowls with the Raiders, right? Or just the one. Maybe just the one with the Raiders. But he's 72 today. Old school for
he's
Jim
a tree.
Plunkett. He is.
Stanford.
Very good. He is a tree. A thick tree, too. It felt like he was a tough guy to sack.
I never really knew that one growing up, though. Didn't feel like it stuck as much.
Nope, I didn't either, but it's one I feel like I know now. Here's the one that you need to get out of your brain if it's in there. Charlie Batch is 45 years old today. Two-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers. Please tell me you don't know where he went to college.
I mean, I would have at one point. It's not big.
Nope. It is not.
Give me a hint.
Directional.
Central Michigan.
Eastern Michigan.
Eastern.
That was good.
All right.
That was
Michigan started to get in there, baby.
That was sickly close is what that was. That was crazy. And also, how about this for a
how long did he start for?
I don't know that Batch ever was, I mean.
Detroit.
That's true. Not with the Steelers. I don't think of him as a starter there. But, I mean, he had a few starts.
He started with Detroit, didn't he?
He had a few. How about LeGarrette Blount? Blount is a three-time Super Bowl champ, won two with the Patriots, then switched to the Eagles at the right time, and won one with the Eagles. LeGarrette Blount, old school.
JC, then Oregon, right?
That is correct.
What JC did he go to?
Ooh, that one I don't know. That one I did not notate today. Good. It's a good sick call. East Mississippi.
East Mississippi.
Is that it?
Good job, Sam.
You. Very good.
Sam is incredibly proactive.
LeGarrette.
Got the computer fixed during the break.
Fixing computers, cutting his hair. I don't know if he cut his hair.
Yeah.
And finding out information.
Hey, I got to give Trey some love. These cookies are really good.
They are good, right?
Yeah.
I told you. I finished the whole thing earlier.
Okay.
And milk. I was like an 8-year-old.
Milk. It was cool. They really brought milk?
They did. Little bottles of milk. I had one.
Let me grab one.
Yeah, it was really nice. Kind of got me excited. I do love milk. Also on the birthday front, Walt Disney would have had a birthday today. And if you love Little Richard, Little Richard's 87 years old today.
Walt Disney.
Hopefully Little Richard's got a show planned for tonight. That'd be cool.
From Georgia.
Little Richard?
Yep.
Yes, he is.
He's from Bacon, Georgia.
Yeah, he's a hell of a trailblazer, man. Just unbelievable stuff back
in the day.
Yeah,
so you know a lot more music than I do. Is that... Because I didn't think of him as a parody, I mean, or a caricature, but it was definitely, like, is he a really respected musician?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that
I got that a little bit, mainly through Back to the Future.
Because that thing, that flamboyance of his, it was him. Like, I was never, the idea was never that he was copying anybody. People ended up copying him. And you can listen to, my dad raised me partially on the Beatles. There are Beatles songs you can just go to and say, right there. Paul McCartney's trying to sound like Little Richard because he's admitted it. He said, I love Little Richard so much. I was trying to sound like Little Richard.
Interesting.
Happy birthday to Little Richard today. All right. If you're just jumping in, a lot of obviously a lot of football on the board today. We'll hit Dustin McComas coming up at 4:05. Talk Texas football. Talk some Texas hoops with him as they are 7-1. This Graham Harrell process seems to be moving pretty quickly. Graham Harrell basically is deciding between Texas – OC job. He could stay at USC and be the OC.
Right.
Or he's got a couple of head coaching positions to look at, but they are small and there's a lot of letters involved and not the right letters that you'd look for. UNLV and UTSA, the two schools that need head coaches that really want to take a look at him.
Yeah, if it was TCU, it'd be a different thing here.
Very true. Very true.
We're just going letters.
That's going to be one he couldn't say no to.
For a head coaching job? That'd be very tough.
He would have to. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. We watched it with Cliff Kingsbury. When he got offered that Tech job, he wasn't ready. He'd probably tell us that today.
Yeah.
But he couldn't say no.
Right.
When Major got the Houston job.
Wasn't ready.
Major probably would have argued to us, I don't know if I was absolutely ready, but what am I going to say?
Yeah.
No thank you? You can't do that. So, but this one, neither of these feels like it. That's what I would tell a Texas fan today. Neither of these jobs feels like a head coaching job that Graham Harrell's going to have to say, oh my God, you mean I could be the head coach at UTSA? And that's not it.
Yeah, and because of how quickly these guys are moving up, it's you actually want to do it that way. You want to go get a really big OC or DC job at one of these big schools, kill it with really good talent, and then try. I mean, you may, everyone's not going to be able to Kirby Smart it, and that was obviously a heightened version because he was with Saban forever and winning championship after championship. But so you may not get like a school like Georgia, but that is how you do it. And there's also building block schools. You got to be careful if you hire from. Houston would be one of them.
It's true. Yeah. It's
right?
Yeah,
where that's a great job to go in, win 9-10 games, and then go get a big job.
Yeah, it felt like for a while.
Historically, it has been.
Yeah, a place people go to when they're looking.
Yeah,
when they're looking.
But you can win there. Lots of talent around there. Conference you're in.
Remember that run that Arkansas State had, not on the field, but just in terms of getting coaches sent out. Like it felt like the Arkansas State guy was going somewhere every single year. Now that was, but obviously that didn't have the.
Well, speaking of Harsin, Boise State's a prime example of a great job to build your name, and then if you want to go do something else, Chris Peterson, Dan Hawkins did it.
Dan Hawkins didn't quite work,
but he ran into Big 12 football.
Yeah, he did. He ran into some non-intramural football. This is what he did. Got a little bit tough on that one. Cowboys and Bears tonight. Remember that is 7 o'clock. We'll get you there in time for kickoff. So obviously we got a lot of football to get to. We're still talking championship games. We've got Brian Jones of CBS Sports coming up at 5:05 to talk about the championship games this weekend and who is getting into the playoff. We'll know it all by Sunday afternoon.
So what are you feeling about tonight? You okay on this one?
You guys
should win this game.
The Cowboys should win. I'm thinking it's going to be like, you know, around 2 field goals or a touchdown.
What's the line on it? Got to be what?
2.5 is what I saw yesterday.
Up to 3 now.
Okay. My guess would be Cowboys by 6, but because of the injuries and where they are and this team's ability to start really slow, you got to give the Bears the respect of, you know, that they deserve. Let's also remember, here's a game that's been blinking in my head today.
49ers Saints?
No, 49ers Seattle. Remember the Monday night game when the 49ers played the Seahawks?
Yep.
It was a close, ugly, low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
And what turned it? What got that game headed Seattle's way?
Russell Wilson made some really good plays.
He made some plays, but freakish defensive plays helped that game out.
Yeah.
That's the one where it was the strip sack play, and Clowney leaned down and picked the ball up and goes in the end zone.
That's Clowney went off that day.
And had a huge night. So I have to give a guy like Khalil Mack enough respect that he and that defense, if the Cowboys let him, if a certain plays happen, that defense can also dictate the way a game is played.
I think so. I think this is a fun weekend, man. And I'm always interested in watching the Cowboys and probably the Bears. So this is one where I can see nationally if you're not completely into it, but not a bad way to start considering there's nothing else on. Chiefs, Patriots, Niners, Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Even Seahawks, Rams, because the Rams have been running Gurley a lot more the last couple weeks. And their offensive line's not great, but they could be dangerous down the stretch. They're at 7-5 now, and they're playing for their life.
Yeah, they're lurking just outside of the playoffs. And, it's interesting to see if they can get themselves into, you know, into playoff shape. Because right now the NFC feels, other than the Cowboys.
Ravens-Bills, too. I forgot about that.
Ravens-Bills in Buffalo. That's 10-2 and 9-3. I mean,
I'm into
nice matchups. 4 matchups this weekend of winning teams in the NFL, and we just laid all 4 of those out there for you. The Bears and Cowboys get it started tonight. Coming up, Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com, the latest on coaching searches. We'll talk a little Longhorn Hoops with him, and it's Dustin, so we could always mix in baseball or whatever, cooking, Chicago pizza. He's ready to talk anything. Coming up next on The Horn.